I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Chair, I move to approve the Brown County check sheet for October 23rd, 2018. Cycle date, October 15th through October 19th. Accounts payable checks, $444,426.19. Accounts payable wires, $196,513.91. Payroll checks, $488,180.05. Payroll check manuals, $2,474.06. IRS and state income tax wires, $197,652. I'm sorry, $197,752.43. And Mr. Chairman, I'm pausing because I'm not seeing the numbers add up correctly. Hold on just a moment, please. Typically, this number is the sum of this number and this number.
So this number is the sum of this.
Well, so you have these two numbers, it subtotals to here.
Yep.
You have these three numbers, they subtotal to here. You add this number and this number to get to this number. That clearly does not add up.
Yeah, this is the total. You have this number and this number to get to that.
You get this number as a subtotal?
Yeah.
And you get this number as a subtotal.
Right, so that's...
That adds up to about $1.3 million, not $2 million.
Yeah. Let me add it up real quick.
Okay.
I don't create.
Why don't you just? You don't need to approve the total. Maybe just approve the subtotals and all the categories, and then work on it.
So, Mr. Chairman, I'll start over again. The motion to approve the check sheet accounts payable is $444,426.19. Accounts payable wires, $196,513.91, for a total of $640,940.10. In addition, we have payroll checks in the amount of $488,180.05, payroll checks manuals in the amount of $2,474.06, payroll IRS and state income tax wires in the amount of $197,752.43 for a subtotal of $688,406.54.
Second.
I'll get you.
Items of note, Tom?
Yes. We have payment to Correctional Health Care Management. This is from the Sheriff's Office budget, and this is the monthly premium for the inmate health care, $11,257.54, and this is for November of 2018. We have budget distribution, fourth quarter budget distribution to the District Attorney's Office, $177,557.50. Payment to Tyler Technologies is from the IT budget, and this is for the Eagle Treasurer Systems, the management and annual connectivity support, $10,974. Payment to of our dedicated taxes, the developmental disabilities, and the Museum and Heritage Tax Fund. Horizon Specialized Service received $8,774. Hayden Mercantile, or Hayden Heritage Center, sorry about that, $216. Historical Ralph Towne County, $4,862. Hans Peak Area Historical Society, $668. And Hans Peak Area Historical Society, that $668 was a reimbursement grant from the MALFAP for their cultural and heritage program. And then the tax distribution, $70.86 to Hans Peak. We have a payment to the North Route Fire Protection District. This is wildland fire budget, and this is for the McKee, Miller, and Overlick fires, $3,775.50. Two payments to River Bend Machinery. This is from Roden Bridge and rental for District 2 for an excavator at $4,725, and also to District 2, a second rental for the excavator, $5,670. One project was for the calf replacement of the Calf Creek Bridge, and the other one was for the Cotton Creek culvert, an excavation for that in that drainage. Museum and Heritage Tax Fund distribution also to the treads of the pioneers, $1,569. Then we have payment from YVRA to William D. Werney, and this is for the parking lot seal coat, $18,972. And then we purchased new antivirus software, moved from Kaspersky to Sophos. So from the IT budget to purchase the new software, $18,942. We have a payment to M-Bation. This is IT controllable asset replacements, and this is a GIS mobile workstation for $2,828. And then finally, payment to Runbeck Election Services. This is for clerk elections and the general election ballot envelopes, $7,687.
And how do we get the $7,400 reimbursement for the camera that Billy Warning broke out at the airport? I saw something about that yesterday. Did we file a claim against his insurance or our insurance?
It came from him, I believe.
So when
he filed a claim on his insurance.
Yeah, he filed a claim on his insurance, yes.
And we think that it'll pay, or do we want to keep
it? I thought
he
said it got paid.
It got paid.
Oh, it did get paid.
That's what the payment
is. Okay, all right. Thanks.
Yeah, we just got the check just this week, actually.
Okay.
Any other discussion on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. So items of note from yesterday, we had our county manager update, we had our attorney's update, and we had an update from Yampa Valley Regional Airport Director, Kevin Booth, and then we had a human resources update with Kathy Nelson, the director.
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the consent agenda items A through D.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 So I guess
since I'm here and we're in the chair, route. So I'm going to call the meeting together. And with us, we have the DA's staff. Brett's here. Donna's here. Matt's here. And Leslie with admin is here as well. And then on the phone, then we have Grand County Commissioners. I don't know whether we have all three of you there, but we have all three of the Grand County Commissioners there.
That is correct.
Great. Thanks, Mark. So, and then we have all three of the Rock County Commissioners here, and we have Commissioner Beck and Commissioner Brown.
Cook.
Sorry. Sorry, Don, but anyhow.
I'll catch up with you, Doug.
There you go, please.
It's been a rough week. You only won.
It's a rough week, man. So we also have our accounting staff and our county manager and assistant county manager here. So I think we're basically scheduled here for from 11 till 11:30. So and hopefully we can get through this and make sure we got some direction to provide to the district attorney's office. So, Brett, with that, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thanks for calling in, and I greatly appreciate, as always, your support of our office and what our mission is. I hope everybody had a chance to go through the read. I apologize that it was a little late getting to you, later than I had hoped. We were dealing with changing numbers on our insurance. Sometimes we come to you in November and October without any numbers for our insurance. We have numbers, and they're good, and I'm thankful for that. We have only a 0.3% increase on our medical this year, so we've been well under the average for most any gatherings of folks trying to medically insure their teams, so I'm very thankful for that. But those numbers just came in late last week. Also importantly, to let you know, as you saw, we returned a substantial sum of money to each county from unspent 2017 dollars. The hanging question is always, should we think of a different way to manage those unspent funds in terms of building a capital account for the DA's office that could help us carry from year to year? We're thankfully in a little better economic year, generally speaking. I know that maybe doesn't apply equally across all three counties, but I think it's still worth talking about whether we want to do something other than return that money. I'll continue to return it until we have a consensus on what to do with it, but there you have those dollars. As I had mentioned to you all last summer, I am asking for a 2.9% increase across the board for everybody in the office but me. We think this is critical to help us stay up with the cost of living in our counties. The overall net result, I think I've provided to you all, but it's a total of a little under $50,000. And when medical is included, the total increase for our office is 3.2% overall. Our operating costs remain the same from last year. Also, I needed to let you know that we are getting increasing pressure from our community of DAs across the state to get online in terms of our electronic discovery, e-discovery. And I think we may need to just bite the bullet, buy the equipment, get it installed, and buy the recovery means. And recovery requires usually cloud storage, some kind of cloud storage purchase. Having the servers in our office is only one step. It's a sizable procurement for us, range of $20,000 to $25,000, plus somebody to maintain it. So I don't have a solid plan for you yet, but I'm leaning toward coming to you sometime spring or summer next year with a solid plan, and it may require a budgetary supplement. Well, it will require a budgetary
supplement. So explain that a little bit more to us, because last year we had this discussion that the state was no longer going to pay you for getting that used to go into your revenue stream.
Correct.
Was going to pay you for discovery.
Correct.
That ended.
Correct.
Now, is this the same thing, or it's an additional thing, a different thing, with everybody being able to get discovery?
So it's related. And so the state decided, the state legislature decided that they didn't want to be paying the public defender to pay us for discovery. And so they said, okay, no more, nobody's paying anybody anymore, so you don't get any revenue. DA's offices can collect, as of 2017, no revenues any longer for discovery. And so in order to... And that was a significant revenue source for us, not as big as, say, the Front Range, where it was upwards of $250,000 for revenue for big offices. We were in the range of $30,000 a year for revenue. But that's gone, and so we're never going to get that back. It's never coming. But related to that was build a system where you can move it all electronically, where there's not somebody standing at a photocopier or standing copying compact discs to hand out to people. Let's do it all with electrons, and they're supposed to be free. So the reality is they're not free. We require servers to collect the information from law enforcement and move it. It requires an infrastructure and bandwidth on the part of the counties that are providing us internet service, and that's been a bit of a limitation. It's not as much now in Moffitt and Route, but there's still a bandwidth limitation in Grand County, I understand. And so we'll have to... but I think now that we got two-thirds of the counties and our biggest dockets have the bandwidth, I think we may need to go ahead and bite the bullet and buy the equipment. I have to hire somebody to maintain it, whether through contract or a direct
hire. So we need to go talk to you, the group that you guys work together with. It sounds like this would have been a much better situation taken care of at a higher level. I mean, whoever at the state level you guys work with, that way they're all similar in technology and ability to and the layout of everything would be the same versus having every judicial district having something different out there.
Well, from a software point of view, it is all the same. So
okay.
the state did provide Colorado District Attorney's Counsel a substantial amount of money to build the software to pull the reports from law enforcement, send them to us, and thus send them out. But that. It gets into a little bit of a dicey situation because it's still expected that the counties provide the physical resources and the personnel resources for the district attorney's office. So it's a state versus local funding issue that has been a long-standing kind of challenge for not our counties as much as some others in the state. You all have been very generous with us in providing resources, and I've never felt like we haven't been able to present to you a compelling case for resources, and you've always provided them. So I'm very, very thankful for that. But this is one of those times where we've got to build some infrastructure from scratch. And you know, we've got to go out and buy the servers, and that's $15,000 easy.
So once that's done, though, it should reduce your manpower requirements. Will it make the discovery easy?
That's a bit of a misunderstanding with the process, because we still have to have a human being that does quality assurance, organizes the data, makes sure the data gets sent to the appropriate folks, supervises the uploading and downloading, and so it's not free.
It saves you time standing in front of a copying machine.
Right, but that time is now spent sitting in front of a computer monitor watching that little tiny dial go really, really slow around, and it's depending on the bandwidth, it's faster or slower. So it's not entirely free, and it was never free to us in terms of the infrastructure we've got to build, both in physical and infrastructure and personnel.
So you have a statutory mandate. Was there a deadline associated?
About 2 years ago, yes. So we're way past the deadline.
Okay.
We've been begging off on, there's nobody really around to slap me with a ticket for failing to meet the statutory requirement, but we need to get there.
Okay.
We're one of the last districts in the state to move to this system, and we need to go ahead and kind of get off the schneid and get it done, in my view. So
are the $15,000 worth of servers in the budget this year?
They're not, because we didn't have exact the specs yet.
And it's been a real difficulty to find a company that could, because the IT departments in each county said it's too big of a project for them, to try to get up and working, and that to find a company that would be willing to work out here to come out to our section. But I did finally find one in Alamosa, long place, way for them. But they just did the system for the 12th DA's office. So they know what we're trying to get set up, and just talked to him Monday, I think he called me back. And he is going to now start talking with Mason Siechlaw, which is the IT director in Moffitt, because Mason knows more about what we're needing to do to see, and this company to try to maybe do a bid for us as far as what the equipment would cost and their time to set this up and to train us, because if we don't have a part-time IT person, he's going to have to try to train some of us within our office to maintain these servers that none of us know anything about.
Do you guys have a procurement policy?
Not specifically. We find the best deal for the taxpayer. Okay. So that's our policy. And I think it's a fair point. Why not build it into the budget? We didn't. My justification, I guess, is maybe we should have, but I didn't feel like we knew enough about what it would look like to present.
So after you get numbers, will you come back to the three counties for a supplemental budget?
We would, or build it into 2020.
Okay.
One or the other. Right. I think I would start the conversation with you all with a solid plan in the spring or summer, and then we can decide with your input, with your consent, whether we want to wait till the 2020 budget cycle and build it in that way. I think that's a more rational way to build a budget than coming back for supplementals. But we can see where the counties are, maybe, and if there are resources available in the middle of the year, we'll talk about it. If they're not,
unless you had a really good idea of what that cost was,
I don't right now. And like Donna said, we still are going back and forth on the specs on what piece of equipment or pieces of equipment we need to buy and where we need to house them. And to my mind, the bigger dollar figures might not be the equipment. It might be who maintains and installs it for us and then trains us.
One place is telling me CDAC is suggesting three servers in each county. This new company now is saying they would lean more towards one big server to maintain all three counties and that. So I don't have – CDAC is supposed to be trying to get me some figures on what servers – Craig Evans, he is the Colorado District Attorney's Council.
Okay.
That maintains this program we're trying to get up.
Hopefully being late to the game here will be beneficial to you all.
Well, as
everybody has it out there.
And again, I'm not saying that our IT wants to, take it on just like anybody else's IT probably does. We're having a hell of a time taking care of our own stuff.
Right.
So, again, but, I do think we want to make sure that, we don't leave you out there on the lurch. as well. So,
other than have you thought about hiring a consultant to help determine what you need?
Well, I think
that's what this company out of Alamosa is.
Oh, okay.
They're the consultants, and they've already done it in one other DA's district.
Okay.
And then that district is somewhat similar to ours in that it's a multi-county, small staff, but huge geographical area to cover and several county seat staff to cover. So they're similar. But I guess the bottom line is I want to bring you a plan, and I'll get you all's input on whether.
Well, if they're not going to put you in jail since we don't have it, so I guess we're all right.
No, and to take your point also, Mr. Munger, you know, every month we wait, the equipment gets better, right? So if we bought it last year, it'd be obsolete already. So
let them iron out the bugs.
Exactly. And so we're kind of.
So Doug, this is Ray. I've just got a question. Would this technology qualify for any type of a grant?
It's possible. I was approached by the spinoff company of. It was IBM, and there was someone else, and now it's yet another entity that is doing the software development on contract for CDAC for this equipment. And one of their individuals did approach me saying that there might be some grant money. We'll explore that for sure, and make sure we've exhausted grant options before we come to taxpayers for input.
Thanks.
Yes, sir.
So I took you off task. Keep going.
Okay. So I'm on bullet point number 8, I guess. I talked to you all about this last summer in terms of our significant uptick in felony filings.
Did you guys make some extra copies of this? Is this the last one that you guys saw? Tim's got it brought up, right? There
you
go. That'll work out good.
Sorry about that. So this is our uptick in felony filings. There's also, it's point 8 on the letter I sent you, and it's slides number 6 and 7 on the PowerPoint. The 60% overall increase for us as a district, looking at the 2018 numbers, they don't look like to me as if we're going to come in as high as they were in 2017, although our case increases in Grand County may end up matching. But I'm still concerned. We are not the only district seeing this increase. We are one of the biggest increases across the state, but we're not the only folks. And as I think I mentioned to you all last summer, CDAC is investing in a criminologist to try and take a look at the data. All of the elected DAs in the state have kind of anecdotal thoughts, at least, about why there may be upticks in each of our districts, but nobody's really crunched the numbers in a systematic way. And once we get that, I'll come back to you all and kind of share that explanation if we're able to get that. One of the things we hear in the community sometimes is, well, it's just the DA's offices wanting to pad their numbers, or it's law enforcement agencies wanting to up their numbers to get resources. And I can tell you that's just flat wrong. Where my office is a completely reactionary office. I don't care about numbers in the sense of what comes through the door comes through the door. We'll prosecute what's just and appropriate to prosecute, and then not prosecute anything that's not met by the law and the evidence. So that's just flat out wrong. But there are some other possibilities. One is there was a substantial effort to make bonds easier to get for folks across the state, and that has led to a number of folks that get out on bond and then reoffend within weeks sometimes. And there's this revolving door of folks out that get out, reoffend, come back, and our bond system is not really equipped to deal with it. And so the District Attorney's Council is exploring leading a pretty substantial effort to reform our bond system across by leading one constitutional amendment that has an in or out system, much like the federal system is, and that is if somebody's dangerous to the community, they just don't get a bond. They stay in. And we don't go through this fiction of, okay, we'll give that person a $1 million bond and hope they don't have the resources to bond out. That's the way we do it now, is a high dollar amount signals the danger to the community, and that means really dangerous people with resources can get the money and bond out. So I think the DA's Council is going to lead that effort. I think it's a fairer system overall. If folks don't need to be in jail and can't make a $50 bond, I have no interest in keeping them in jail. The sheriff has no interest in housing such a person, so let's let those folks go. But people that are dangerous to the community that do need to stay in custody until trial, those folks stay. And I'm excited to be part of an effort to try and lead change in that regard. So case developments, I've got a number listed there since last summer. I'll go through maybe one or two of the highlights. We did in Moffitt County sentence Ms. Niemeyer for second-degree murder. She went to prison for 18 years. She killed her husband and the Bears in there in Craig. James Madsen is a sexual assault case, pled guilty, and he's off to 8 years in prison. We do have a home invasion case that one individual's gone to prison and two other are waiting for trial. We have a teacher, a former teacher in Moffitt County that's set for trial in December for sexual exploitation of a child. And I'll leave the rest of those for you to read. In Rouse County, a fairly well-known individual, Mr. Dusty Dyke, was sentenced to 4 years in prison. He left a trail of tears through Rouse County with burglaries and thefts. So he is now off to the penitentiary. We have a serious child abuse case that's awaiting trial. We had a fairly big methamphetamine seizure that is awaiting trial or early in the process there. So in Grand County, we had Mr. Cervantes, who killed an individual on the highway there west of Kremling, and he was sentenced to 18 years in prison after being convicted of vehicular homicide. We have a well-known individual in Kremling who is in custody pending a probation revocation for weapons and ammunition. He's been somebody who, like I said, is very well-known in Grand County and Kremling in particular. We had a cruelty to animals case. This is a big deal in Mr. Campbell's case. It's a big deal in Grand County. He is set for sentencing for cruelty to animals and first-degree assault, attempted first-degree assault on an officer. He'll be sentenced in November. There, as Grand County well knows, there was a string of multiple burglaries across the county over 20, maybe more than 1 year, maybe 2 years. That case has been solved in the sense that there are now six defendants awaiting cases in Grand County. You can see our case statistics. I've kind of alluded to a little bit already. Our trial folks are doing a great job getting cases that need to be taken to trial to trial. So our trial numbers are up a little bit this year. Case numbers, I think, are tracking to be a little less than last year. That gives you at least a flavor of where we are case-wise. So I think that covers everything I had. I'm excited to take any questions that anybody has about our the main issue, obviously, is today's what I'm asking you to do is approve our 2.9% salary increase across the board with our also 0.3% increase in medical costs. Overall cost to all of you is a little less than $50,000. I think each of the counties has their breakdown. I can go over that real quick. So for
Brett, I've got some questions for you. This is yes. Mr. Chimico from Grand County.
Yes, sir, please.
So you mentioned that it wasn't your salary per se, it's the position of DA that you said would stay at its current level, correct?
In terms of the DA's salary, yes. It's the floor is set by state statute. I think CDAC is looking for sponsors to run a bill that might increase the DA's salary in the next legislative cycle, but also look for funding for an assistant district attorney and a chief district attorney in each office. But the floor, as you're alluding to, is set by statute. It can be agreed to in advance of the term of the DA to be above that floor, if you wish. I will present to you probably over the course of the next year some justifications for whoever is the next DA. It won't be me, but whoever the next DA is, you might want to think about increasing their salary. I'm not sure that our bill is going to get through the legislature next year. It didn't this year. So that's, I don't want to rely on that necessarily. Did that answer your question, sir?
But is the, oh, it does, and thank you. And that's my concern, too, is I appreciate your choice in your budget requests for the position that you're currently occupying. However, I would like to make sure that while the three counties might like to see the lowest number possible, we also would like, I think, lots of candidates to run for DA. So what is that amount right now, sir?
It's $130,000, and the state picks up 80% of that.
Yeah,
so I'm the best deal you guys get in this office, I think.
Well, that may or may not be.
My wife has that same question.
Let me ask. So you ran in 12 and 16.
Yes.
Can you discuss the number of primary opponents you had and the number of general election opponents you had? Or were you unopposed sometimes? What sort of interest has there been in this judicial district to run?
Unopposed across the board. So I've never had an opponent. I think there's in recent memory.
In 2009, there was
contested race.
Otherwise, in my 38 years, there hasn't been.
So, Rich, thanks for bringing that up. It's been a concern of mine as well. Although, my fear is that we forego these pay increases for the DA for a number of years, and then we're faced with a big jump in the future. So, speaking for myself only, I think we should extend the increase to the district attorney, the 2.9% across the board.
I don't think you're not going to get support on that.
As I mentioned, I'm speaking for myself only.
And again, I appreciate, and I don't know. Or is that where we need to go right now, is talking about that? Or, I mean, we can talk about salaries in whole. We do have some decision items here we need to pass and approve the budget request, both operating and again. So, Ray, you had a conversation with me last night, too. Do you have a general discussion that you or Don want to bring up as well from Moffat County?
Well, yeah, just a question. I understand the need for the raise, but I wanted just to be clear that as I see the returns in dollars and cents to Moffat Route and Grand collectively, that's a return of about $126,000 and some change. And so when you look at your overall budget increase of $49,664, That sends the message to me that there's enough funds to cover that, and the counties collectively wouldn't have to budget additional money to fund your projected budget. Am I getting that right?
I'm not sure I understand the question. I think we're asking.
So let me cut to the chase. I think what Commissioner Beck was alluding to, the refund that we were going to get doesn't it about equal the $50,000 or something?
It's double.
Well past that, yes. Yeah. So, for instance, Commissioner Beck, we returned $30,004 to Moffat County. And in terms of the personnel increase for Moffat County, we're asking for an increase of $12,417 to cover both the 2.9% salary increase and our 0.3% medical insurance cost increase. So you're still netting $18,000.
Yes, that's where I was going with this.
Okay.
I just wanted to be clear that I understood that, and as I read it, I think I got it. So it wouldn't be any additional increases to the Moffat County budget.
I think
depends on how you look at it, because you're going to get the Moffat County money back, $30,000,
right,
and then you're going to have an increase of the 12 or 15, whatever it is, right?
Right, yes, sir. So we cut the checks last month, and so you've already received those to your treasury. And I don't know how each county accounts for that, but so
okay.
So I guess
thank you.
Yeah, sir. Back to our question here, and I guess so. We've got a couple of questions, Commissioner Rich. Do you bring up a point? Do we all want to discuss the salary about the district attorney, or do we want to talk about the rest of the salaries?
First, let me clarify. Can Brad please confirm, or any other attorneys in the room, that a elected official, the DA, can have a salary adjusted midterm? Is that true?
I think they can.
Can't at the elected officials.
Yeah, and I.
The rest of the elected officials.
I've heard conflicting information about that, and so The overall base salary, my understanding is, must be set by the three county commissions before the term commences for the elected district attorney. And so that would mean, you know, in 2020, sometime in the fall, before the elected DA starts the next term in January of 2021, there'd need to be an agreement amongst the three county commissions to whatever an elevated past, whatever the state floor is.
So in light of your recommendation for your budget of just 2.9 for your staff, your salary stays the same. I would like to ask the three counties to really think through this in October of 2019. And perhaps, Brett, I know your job is to prosecute crimes, but I don't know if maybe your staff or maybe go to CCI, maybe we could find out and just measure all the other judicial districts across the state and just kind of compare. And we need to decide as a tri-county JD18 what we want to set the salary for the occupants of this office after the, you know, for the election of November of 2020.
So this is Carrie Hermosinski, and I agree with that. What I think we need to do today is approve the district attorney's budget and personnel numbers. And what I think I heard the district attorney say is that he's going to come back to the three counties sometime next year and bring some salary information and talk to us about what the newly elected district attorney could potentially be making. And we'll figure out if we've got the budget to do that throughout the year next year in preparation of an election in 2020.
In other words, there's nothing we can legally do right now to adjust the DA's salary.
We don't know if that's the case, but I don't.
But we don't know that we can.
No, we don't know that we can.
Okay,
I think that's a fair statement, and so I think the most imperative thing for today for decision is our agreed personnel budget for the three counties that you split. I think that's, I greatly appreciate the sentiment of whether to increase my own salary, and I've always been committed to making sure any increases we get go to the much less paid staff that is part of the great team that we have. So, but thank you for the sentiment, and I guess it's over to somebody for a motion.
And we've also, just so you know, too, we've also supported the legislation effort to help with the assistant DAs as well.
Okay.
So we think that's kind of a good thing as well. So.
You ready for a motion?
Are you guys have any more, Grand or Moffitt, have any other comments before we move in and have a motion to approve the joint three-county salary scheme?
This is Grand County. We are supportive of this scheme. We did have a question, I guess, that we just probably have some clarification. I think we get it now. I think we agree with what Harry Kermanczynski said, that we're really only approving the budget numbers today for personnel. And I think we want to be clear that if we did, say, take action on the DA salary today, I think that it doesn't take effect until after the next election. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
We'll figure that out.
Yeah, I don't know that that's wrong, Commissioner Lincoln. So the imperative is to get the budget for the staff today.
And to clarify, we're approving personnel and operations today.
No?
Just personnel for right now.
Yeah. Individual boards will approve operations.
Our budget approval, we will approve the operations.
This is all we're approving right here, and full-time equivalents.
And that's always confused me, Commissioner Corkin, so... but yes,
checks in the mail.
Right. What the three counties have to do together as a consolidated board is the personnel division, and then each county by itself, on its own, and it's through its own process, approves the operating budget, which we call the lower half. So today's motion would only have to do with the upper half personnel costs, as I understand it.
So again,
Tim Corrigan making a motion.
Sounds good, Tim. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I would move to approve the district attorney's personnel budget as presented.
Second.
So I got a motion by Corrigan and a second by Hermosinski. Why don't we vote by county? So Grand County, you guys want to vote? All in favor, say aye.
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 No opposed. Moffitt County, All support motions, say aye.
Aye.
Any none opposed? And Route County, all in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And so I think that probably ends our discussion unless we have something else.
I think it does. So once again, on behalf of my teammates, thank you all so very much for your just unwavering support of our office and what we do in the community.
So and I guess the bottom line back also would be that we have this discussion before now of next year.
Yes, sir.
So that we can have and you do some more homework to figure out what the other places are doing, other yeah. districts are doing, and kind of the, and then get some more technical stuff on it.
You bet.
I sympathize with the situation, but we need to figure out how we can do it and
yes, sir.
Not set in precedent and not... not have that's and that's why we went with 80% of it being funded by the state, is because we ended up having your situation sitting there, and every year one of the counties didn't have a good year.
Yeah.
That's where the salaries laid is where the county having the worst situation was. So
yes, sir.
Like to work at it outside of budget session. Yes.
Okay. All right. We'll do that. Thank you all again so much for your support.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you guys. Yep. Okay, we have our 11:30 item here, the PDR board and modification of the West Track. And so probably I'm going to turn it over to Claire. I'll turn it over to you first.
This is a request to simply modify the configurations of a parcel quite some time ago when the Wolves decided to move forward with the conservation efforts. They committed to working with their neighbor and what?
Who would be here except he's shipping cows this morning?
Priorities. Yeah. Anyway, that was part of the agreement that they made with him, was to set up the property with the understanding that down the road he'd be able to purchase a parcel. And as we move forward with that, they have decided that it makes more sense to reconfigure the parcel that was going to be dedicated for sale. The change in configuration makes good sense. It gets rid of the county road splitting the parcel in half, two-thirds, I guess it's more accurate. And regardless of the configuration, the land remains in the conservation easement, and there are no substantive changes whatsoever that would affect the values of the conservation easement.
So there's no increase in building envelopes.
Nope.
No, nothing changes.
Just
a portion of a conserved property goes to somebody else and still having the conservation
That's
easement.
That's correct. And that was always contemplated for a big
Yeah, that was in the original conservation easement that we could sell Rick when he was able to expand his thing. It's just the lines, when we looked at it afterward, didn't make sense. So we've got a slightly different configuration.
And your packet shows the existing and the proposed.
It was originally planned for 75 acres to be transferred, and the new configuration is 40.41.
And the Yampa Valley Land Trust approves of this change.
Yes, we do.
They were, as the sponsor, they came forward with the request to the board. And our attorney, Lydia, has reviewed the proposal thoroughly, and she has also confirmed that it comports with the existing conservation easement. So we, as a board, recommend approval of it.
So actually, are we approving the modification to the conservation easement, or is that an amendment to the conservation easement? So
it's an amendment to the conservation easement, and that requires the board's approval, and what we've done in the past is just send a letter or have you execute a letter confirming that amendment.
And so then you guys are going to continue to be the monitoring agency with the new owner on the parcel that's been severed and put onto his parcel.
Correct. Yep. And I guess we were hoping to move forward as simply as possible. If we can do it with an administrative approval, that would be preferred. So we're going to see.
We don't do administrative approvals here.
But well, yeah, we're going to vote today when we before we leave here. So
okay,
keep going.
And we would have to, we'd have to get approval from NRCS, the other funder.
Okay.
And they would be more, more complicated, and they would have the ultimate decision on how we treated it, whether it's an amendment to the easement or whether they would just sign off and say we approve the modification.
So the question that I have then is the parcel that's going over to the Myers, is that going to be merged into his other property, or is it going to continue to be separated?
Yeah, it would be merged with his other property.
I mean, that would be beneficial to us as well.
Correct,
but
yeah.
Even
no.
though part of it might not be conserved and the other part is, it would still be better if it was merged into one parcel and
yeah.
half
Why?
Of it being protected. Send in two tax bills.
The original conservation easement and the portion that is not being amended actually requires that.
Okay.
Okay,
so I didn't, that was answer my question then. So
yep. And it would prohibit it from being transferred in any manner other than a whole.
Yeah, he can't sell that
so
property separately from the rest
the
of you.
40-acre property in
okay.
the
right.
Yeah, he cannot
okay.
sell the 40 acres without also
well,
selling the rest of the stuff.
That's why it's in our best interest.
Yeah.
And we would also protect the irrigated ground. We would work out, according to requirement three in the easement for this provision, we would work out a water rights use agreement that would prevent that tract going to RIC from ever being dried up in the future. So a portion of the water rights would be allocated to that.
Is that
I'm good.
Going to be a recorded document?
The
water use agreement?
Yes, that would have to be.
Okay. Ready?
Yep.
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the modification of the West Tract from 75 acres to 40.41 acres. Related to PDR Project 170, noting the property would continue to meet all the conservation values as outlined in the conservation easement previously approved and recorded.
Second.
Any other discussion? Fred, did you?
Thank you.
Bet.
Thank you.
All those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Yep, thank you.
Well, let me ask
congratulations to Rick. So, yep.
That's
our 1 o'clock item. We have cutting edges and blades, so...
Thank you.
And over to you.
We are here for consideration of the Board of County Commissioners to approve the award and authorization of the county manager to electronically sign the purchase order for IFB 621
okay.
cutting
wait,
edges.
Wait a minute.
Minute, wait a minute.
Yeah, so she's here. Yeah.
Okay. We're not in any rush.
Okay, now you can start over again.
Let's start over. So we are here for consideration of the Board of County Commissioners to approve the award and authorization of the county manager to electronically sign the purchase order for IFB 621 Cutting Edges and Blades to Wagner Supply in the amount of $56,853.80 for the Robb County Public Works Department. And the history on this is I'm not exactly sure how many vendors this was sent out to by Fred, but five did respond, and the lowest bid was a 9-week delivery he couldn't improve upon, so we had to go to the next highest bid by $284.50. But that way we have our blades before the snow flies, so...
And he's a local vendor, Wagner.
And are these the blades that go on the bottom of the...
Both, the plows and the graders.
And the graders, okay.
And we decided to go with the more expensive one because not only the delivery, but the quality of the last vendor that was cracking some of the edges. So we're going to try...
Do we replace them all every year?
Sometimes more. It depends on the road, whether it's gravel, pavement, rocks. Yeah.
So they also have different types of blades, too.
Right, different types of blades.
so somewhere. When they scarify, they're actually
cut
and it's got
spaces on it, yeah.
Like cheese grater, the grating grater almost.
I'm good.
You ready for a motion?
Yep.
Mr. Chair, I move to approve the award and authorize the county manager to electronically sign the purchase order for IFB 621 cutting edges and lids to Wagner Supply in the amount of $56,853.80 for the Rob County Public Works Department.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Thank you very much.
Thanks for waiting on this controversial item for me to arrive.
We might have been, you know, deadlocked.
I needed a vote. Vote splitter.
So we got a waiver request for the Justice Center and the jail camera upgrades.
Yes. So we are asking for consideration to waive the formal purchase process and approve the board chair to sign the notice of award and authorization of the county manager to electronically sign the purchase order for the Route County Justice Center and jail security camera upgrade to CML Security LLC in the amount of $55,600. We are requesting the waiver because they currently maintain the system and they're replacing 7 cameras that they installed a few years ago. They will also be doing the CLEF building, so all the security will interact with each other. So they gave us a quote that actually covers both the Justice Center and the jail for what we had set aside in 2018 for the Justice Center alone. So we're pulling the jail replacements ahead from 2019. Take that off the budget for next year.
Great.
So these are all, I guess, digital?
Yes, IP.
The ones before were not?
Well, so most of them at the Justice Center have been, all the interiors have been replaced with digital IP cameras. So these are the exterior cameras in the parking lot, and there was two more on the building, two that are currently analog cameras. So we'll be pulling new wire for all those, as well as replacing the cameras.
And then the request for the waiver is based on, again, that they're already doing the work on their own consulting on the project?
Yes.
Well, that sounds like it's a pretty good buy, considering it's more than we had budgeted for less.
Right.
We're
getting more than what we had budgeted for just taking care of the Justice Center repairs.
Right.
We've been able to pull the jail head under the same bucket.
Any questions? Comments?
Mr. Good. Chair, I move that we waive the formal purchasing process and approve your signature on the notice of award and authorization of the county manager to electronically sign the purchase order to CML Security in the amount of $55,600.
Second.
Discussion? Those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Have a nice afternoon.
Thank you.
You too. Consideration for approval and authorization for the chair to sign the PDM. What is it? PDM. 2017 encumbrance. Grant agreement between the state of Colorado and Department of Public Safety in Rock County. So,
So the PDM is, I think it stands for pre-disaster mitigation. So the specific grant is for us to update our hazard mitigation plan, which is dated 2010, and they have a 5-year life span or life cycle. So we're kind of operating at risk right now where if something major did happen, we would not be eligible for post-disaster mitigation or post-disaster grants because we don't have a current hazard mitigation plan. So we applied for this grant back in November. It was finally approved in the middle of August. And it's a 75-25 grant. The way we got to the numbers is that we were assuming from market analysis that the average vendor cost about $50,000. We then went out and got in-kind contributions as well as some cash. And if you totaled up the commitment for in-kind and cash, it came out to about $60,000. And that's the number that FEMA takes 75% off of. So FEMA has authorized us up to $45,000 towards this project, and then the county would cover 15, but out of that 15, it includes about $5,000 in cash that we got. So the net bill would be about probably about $10,000 net to the county. So we put out an RFP several weeks ago. We received 8 proposals by the deadline, which was last Wednesday. We're going through those proposals now. We have a selection committee that's already identified that are reviewing them. We meet this Friday to select a vendor with the intent of going out with a purchase order by November 6th and then get the vendor to start working around the middle of November. The timeline, the life cycle of this is actually 2 years, but all the vendor estimates we've got have all been completed by November of next year.
So are we at risk through November of next year?
That's a good question. I'm not really sure if at least we were it's in work, if we, they still would be at risk, or if it shows good faith that we're updating.
Is there anyone that can answer that question?
I'll find an answer, yes. And I don't know if there is a black and white answer about that.
So will it be a 2020 plan?
It's actually, it could be dated 2019.
Okay. And then will we be due again in 2024 if we stay
yes.
on track? Okay.
Yes. There are 5-year plans.
Okay.
Now, the proposals that we received back range in price from about $39,000 up to $60,000. We have 5 criteria that we're looking at, cost being one of them.
So sweet.
The selection team is, we tried to do a functional, so it's myself, Chief Swinsick, we wanted the fire person, Chief Swinsick volunteered, Winnie Delacquati from the city volunteered, Frank Alphone from Mount Warner Water volunteered, and I'm drawing a blank on the fifth.
Scott Cowman
from Norman. So those are as a panel of 5. Julie will also be on it, but not as a voting member, but just a looking up a proposal. So that panel. Now, Scott and Frank, I know, won't be there, but they're going to send me their review sheets that we created. So we have 5.
On a selection.
On a selection. So we have 5 criteria. Each one's equal, weighted 20%. Review them all and score them, and we'll look at all the scoring sheets from the team and then select the vendor on Friday. We'll recommend a vendor on Friday. So if the total cost, for example, if we chose the vendor that was $39,000, we don't automatically get it all paid for because the FEMA $45,000 is a max. It's still 75%. So they won't go over 45. If it's less than 45, then do the 75%. Plus, you got the cost share and all that kind of stuff. So cost is 20% of the factors that we're using.
So how many more of these do we have hanging around that we don't have reports due that... is this the last one?
I'm not sure what the question is.
This thing was due 2 years ago?
The hazard mitigation plan? Yes,
yeah.
It was.
How many more of these we got hiding out there?
Well, the only other time requirement...
I mean, and then I guess I'm curious, how the hell did we not know? I mean, I didn't know anything about this.
Well, I can't answer all that. I understand. But I looked at the 2010, and shortly after I got here, we addressed that. And
I recall we were behind the 8-ball on this. We missed out on a whole year, right?
Well, then I spoke to Chuck Vail about it. And
no, the whole year of funding is something
different.
Completely
oh,
different.
Yeah.
This is to be able to get grants if we do have a disaster.
That was for the department match.
Right. That's right.
So what happened around the earlier part of last year, and I was talking to Chuck Vail, we knew this was a requirement, and we were contemplating at that point of whether we try to update what we have on our own, with me being brand new, or if we wait to apply for a grant, or we just contract on our own and get someone to do it. So once it became known that grant would be available, we started talking about that in the summer, and that...
Summer of 18.
Yeah, summer of last year. And then, the grant had to be in by November, first week of November last year.
Oh, okay.
So
that's
when we applied.
17.
Yeah,
it's taken a while to get
the yeah.
And they didn't announce it until August that we got the
yes.
grant.
Yes. It took them 10 months just from when our application was due to when we said, okay, your grant's approved. Yeah. So we've been. And that's,
just imagine if we have a flood.
I just feel that in my head.
Apparently, it was not an emergency for that reason.
Which is interesting, too, because as we get to this grant, what I find interesting is that so we have to do quarterly reports on the progress as well as the invoice we pay out.
Uh-huh, yep.
And this specifically says that the state will, or FEMA, I think the state will cover our invoices within 45 days or there's a 1% interest that we can file.
So is the state acting?
1% per month?
I believe, yes.
Okay. Is the state acting as the fiscal intermediary between the
Yes, we are a subrecipient. So the money comes from FEMA to the state, and then we're a subrecipient to the state and get our... So we file our progress reports and our invoices to pay for work done during that quarter, and then we get reimbursed.
It would have just almost seemed... It would have been too easy just to grab the old report, even for the 2 years, and just spend a process for the short term going through and reviewing the report that's there,
well,
and still having it in effect while we're working on a new process.
That could be an option. I don't know how...
Would it adhere to the most current FEMA standards?
It has to go through a review and all that.
Okay.
Interestingly, is two of the vendors, I think, one of their selling points that was kind of interesting is that they offer... one update maintenance at the 2 or 3 year mark as part of their budget for that contract. So that's a nice feature that you can. No,
this will be truly individualized to Brown County.
Absolutely.
It'll have wrong addresses and box such and such and Glenwood Springs.
That's seen it happen before.
And then these firms, these are all guys that have passed out of the FEMA organization and now out on their own contract.
No, they've come back to life.
Oh, exactly.
They've been revived.
There have been some that work at FEMA, but surprisingly, not as many as I thought.
Oh, is that right?
And I didn't see any with a lot of them with actual emergency management experience. A lot of them seem more academics. They're GIS experts and planning experts.
I don't know if I'd like to hear that either, right?
Maybe you'd prefer to make this.
Yeah, we just thought, we got another item here.
Okay, go ahead.
I think it's my turn, isn't it?
Sure.
I just wanted to make you do this one. Mr. Chair, I move to approve and authorize your signature on the PDM 2017 encumbrance number 17, PDM 19, RC grant agreement between the State of Colorado, Department of Public Safety, and Route County.
Second.
Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. So we're going into executive. We might have to do it. Agenda.
Which are hers on?
Our agenda item for.
Turn it on.
So I would move that the Board of County Commissioners go into executive session to discuss. For a conference with the county attorney for the purpose of receiving legal advice on specific legal questions under CRS sections 24-6-402, parens 4, parens B.
Yeah, I just might want to include discussion regarding update of the IGA wildland fires.
Yep, that would be included in my motion.
Second.
Good enough. Any discussion included in the executive session will be the sheriff and the undersheriff, our county attorney and county manager, assistant county manager, and the emergency management staff.
Second.
Yes.
Can I add, County Attorney Eric Knaus, that this will not be a recorded session as it's to receive
legal advice.
Legal advice. Thank you.
Yes. So it is, right now it's 1:28. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Oh my God.
We're going to come back out of executive session. It is now 2:37 coming out of executive session. The executive session is concluded. The following persons were present at the executive session. Everybody that I mentioned earlier were here during the session, other than Under Sheriff Shear left partway through the discussion. Board limited discussions to the purpose stated in the motion to go into executive session, and no formal action was taken, and we provided negotiating direction to our negotiators.
And note that Linnea South, our assistant county attorney, arrived as well.
Arrived, yes. Anything else? So we stand adjourned. Thank you very much.